Dr. Jeffrey Halstead has been Canandaigua's hometown dentist for more than 35 years, offering routine dental care as well as cosmetic dentistry, implants, and dentures by their highly trained and experienced staff. Visit them online at canandaiguadentistry.com or find them on Facebook and Instagram.
FingerLakes1.com. I'm Josh Durso, and this is Inside the FLX. Today we are talking birds, as we do once a month, with Chris Ledesky from the Montezuma Audubon Center. We've got a lot on tap today, including some breaking news. Chris, thanks for being here.
Great to be with you, Josh.
So this week we got confirmation from the DEC that they are looking into a possible avian flu outbreak in Webster at a public park near the Wayne County border. And I wanted to talk to you about this because we've talked about Canada geese before, which is the bird under question here, but also some interesting questions that I saw pop up on social media over the last 24 to 48 hours about avian flu. So if you could just give us a rundown, sort of the basics of what avian flu is.
Yeah, avian flu is it's part of a avian virus, influenza virus, that is impacting some birds across this country. This is not unique to Webster or the Finger Lakes region. This is something that we've been dealing with across this country now for a few years. This particular strain that has impacted our birds over the last 2 years was first identified in winter of 2022. In the Finger Lakes region, we saw some, just some birds, waterfowl in particular, succumb to this virus. As we continued through the winter season and got into the spring season of 22, we started to see some die-off in birds of prey because those eagles, hawks, falcons, and owls were starting to consume infected waterfowl. So it worked its way up the food chain, unfortunately, and not sure how this is going to play out with the Webster situation. But we are, you know, vigilant and watching out for any sick or dead birds. And we do encourage people to contact their local New York State DEC office if they do see any sick or injured birds while they're out and about.
Most common way that it spreads, bird, like bird-to-bird contact, typically right. The way human flu spreads?
That's right. Yeah, people may see birds that are coughing or sneezing. So that contact with another bird is a way that this virus can spread. It can also spread through fecal matter. And so it is very rare, though, that avian influenza will spread to a human being. I just want to make that clear.
Of course.
That there
yep.
doesn't seem to be a concern with public health at this point.
Virtually no risk. When we're talking about how this typically spreads, we talked a little bit before we came on here about, you know, sometimes it'll come in through migratory birds mm-hmm. and kind of like flock hopping, I guess mm-hmm. you'd call it in some ways. Mm-hmm. How does this thing look when something like this pops up, obviously quite a ways from you guys out at the Audubon Center? When something like this comes up, how regional is the kind of like proactiveness to just keeping an increased eye out for what might be unusual?
Right. And as we're going into now this winter season, we're going to be conducting several community science bird surveys across this Montezuma wetlands complex. We're still in the middle of the Christmas bird count season, so there are still people out throughout the Finger Lakes region and really all across New York State that are counting birds during this holiday season as part of the 124th Audubon Christmas bird count. So we're going to be keeping an eye out for anything unusual. Unusual bird sightings, you know, living bird sightings, but also looking in particular for any injured, sick, or dead birds, and then reporting that to DEC for proper testing.
And a timeline for this, obviously, a lot of unknown with this particular situation, but Is avian flu seasonal the way that human flu is?
Yeah, exactly right. And we're going to be seeing, I think, some avian influenza as we go through this winter season, maybe even into next spring. It's hard to say for sure. But the migratory season is typically the time of year when we find that virus spreading to other birds. It can get into domestic flocks as well, so chicken and pheasant flocks on farms are susceptible to this virus as well.
And typically we are not talking about when avian flu is identified or spotted. We aren't talking about mass casualty events here. We're talking about fairly localized, not that super serious kind of things beyond the what you'd identify locally as a problem.
Right. What we saw in 2022 and just a little bit of in 2023 were maybe a few dozen geese or ducks in a very large flock of hundreds of thousands that were either sick or dead as a result of that virus. So not a massive die-off, at least going back through the last couple of years, what we've seen.
So let's talk a little bit about what you guys have going on out at the center, of course. Christmas bird count recap. You've got some news for us there on that front. Hard at work, as always.
Oh, it was a great time. Back on December 18th, we hosted 40 participants at Montezuma Audubon Center. The dreary, damp weather that we had that day didn't dampen the spirits of our birding community, and I organized the 40 volunteers and staff and put them in areas all across Montezuma, and they counted birds for several hours, documenting the number of species and the number of individual birds that were all across Montezuma. Very impressive number of species found that day. We had 82 species, which is about 10% higher than our long-term average. So that was exciting to see. And then we found about 34,000 individual birds all across Montezuma, which is slightly lower than average, but pretty much right on par. So great way to kick off the holiday season. I think some highlights from that bird count for us would have been the 350 sandhill cranes that continued to be found in the marshes and agricultural fields all around Montezuma. Over 50 bald eagles were spotted by our birding volunteers. And thousands of waterfowl are still here in the Montezuma area because all the marshes are unfrozen. The rivers and the canal system is unfrozen. And none of the fields have any snow or ice. So there's still ample food for all of these birds to stick around. Now, is that going to change? Probably, as we get into January. Winter probably will come in here. And birds may have to venture further south to find unfrozen habitat and access to their food. But after a day of birding, we welcomed everyone back to the Audubon Center for a potluck dinner, and we compiled the results, which is always just a great part of the whole season, and delicious foods and sharing food with and meal with family and friends. Just a great experience, and something we look forward to every year.
How many of these bird counts do you guys do kind of annually throughout the year? It seems like you guys are doing things like this off and on throughout the whole calendar.
Yeah, there are several birding surveys that take place pretty much from the first of the year right on through the end of the year, Christmas bird count being one of the highlights, definitely for me. In the next week, right after we get back into things after New Year's, we're going to be conducting a Montezuma bald eagle survey. So we've got another volunteer that is organizing all that, and we're going to have probably 40 or 50 volunteers and staff helping with that survey. We typically find 70 to 80 bald eagles during that survey. As we go into the spring season, we'll be focused on the waterfowl and documenting those species and the number of individuals coming back into the Finger Lakes region, and Montezuma in particular. As we go into the summer months, cerulean warbler surveys and black tern surveys keep us very busy, grassland bird surveys, and then again next fall, we'll be busy with more waterfowl surveys.
You had a rare bird sighting out there at the center. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the red-headed woodpecker was found not at the Audubon Center, but right down here in Seneca Falls at Cayuga Lake State Park. It's been documented there now throughout most of the fall season. This is a rare bird for us, and certainly rare for this winter season. They typically go a little bit further south to at least the mid-Atlantic states. Some are going to go down to the southeast United States to spend the winter. There is a small population that breeds here in the Finger Lakes region. Fairhaven Beach State Park is a well-documented breeding location for this red-headed woodpecker. And we found the red-headed woodpecker during our Christmas bird count back a couple of weeks ago right down there at Cayuga Lake State Park. This is a really noticeable woodpecker. It's much larger than your typical downy woodpecker or hairy woodpecker, which can be found in backyards throughout the Finger Lakes region. Red-headed woodpeckers, as the name would suggest, has a bright, brilliant red, fully red head. The undersides, the belly, and the chest are white. The back is black, and it's more of in an open habitat. So lakesides are great places to find them, and Cayuga Lake State Park, with all of the campground areas that are there, is a great spot to, you know, suitable habitat for them. And this one particular bird has been hanging out now for several weeks. So with these balmy conditions that we continue to have here in the Finger Lakes region, it's a great time to get out and enjoy the trails all across the Finger Lakes, enjoy our parks, and enjoy the birds, and some rare birds like red-headed woodpecker.
When you see one, does it kind of give you the inclination that there might be a few more in that area?
There could be, although the birding community has been there at the park, you know, for several weeks now, and just documenting the one. Now it is possible that another one comes in and joins it, but at this point it appears that there's just the one.
And our species spotlight for this month is the Cooper's hawk. Tell us about that.
Cooper's hawk, I wanted to highlight that because that is a little bit more of a common bird to be found this time of year with leaves off the trees, people filling bird feeders. It's a medium-sized hawk, so noticeably smaller than a red-tailed hawk. It has rounded wings. Overall, the adults are gray and blue, kind of on the back. The chest and the belly are creamy color, but they've got these red bands of plumage. The tail is a little bit longer than, say, a red-tailed hawk, and the tail itself is rounded on the ends. So you can find this hawk typically around bird feeders and along edges of forested habitat. They do enjoy eating songbirds, so small songbirds, and then small mammals are also a part of the diet of this hawk.
Very interesting. And of course, we talked about it last month, fundraising time, that time of year, December, November. How did that go, and where do we stand right now with just a couple days left in the year?
Yeah, a few days left for people to support Montezuma Audubon Center and all of our work throughout the course of the year. It's been very successful to date. So far, we have raised over $15,000 to support bird conservation efforts all across Montezuma, as well as our educational programs that we do. And really a big focus for 2024 is to get the next generation of conservationists more involved. These are middle school, high school, and college age students involved in bird conservation projects, helping with community science projects, helping with habitat restoration projects all across Montezuma. You know, looking back at 2023, very successful year. We had over 250 young people join us for these bird conservation projects. We're looking at doing more of that work, bringing more Seneca County, Wayne County, Cayuga County students out to Montezuma, getting involved, inspiring them to take action and learn about what it means to be a conservationist, a biologist, an Audubon staff person, to take care of the 200 bird species that we have just at the Audubon Center alone and the 200 acres that are there in Savannah. A lot of opportunities for people to still donate as we approach the end of the year. Easiest way would be to go to our website and donate through our website, which is montezuma.audubon.org, and there they can click on the Support Our Work tab. Make a secure online donation to help us continue this important work that we do well into the 2024 season.
And that link, I'm sure, doesn't expire on January 1st for anybody listening or watching after January 1st. Still works, right?
That's right, yes. we're still going to be accepting donations in the new year, and every donation, no matter how small or how large, is going to help us have greater impact for birds in the places that they need.
Coming January 1st, first day hikes happening all over the state, kind of an annual tradition. You guys have one of your own that you're going to be doing. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, this is in conjunction with the New York State DEC and the New York State Parks first day hikes. We've been doing these now for several years. These are free hikes that are done all across New York State. We're proud at Montezuma Audubon Center to offer these free hikes. No registration is required, just asking people to join us up at the Audubon Center, which is Route 89 in Savannah, just a short 10-minute drive north of the refuge. 10 o'clock in the morning on January 1st, looking like a very tranquil, great weather condition day for us on January 1st. We're going to be taking people on about a 2-mile, relatively flat hike through our forests and grasslands and then around our marshes. I would expect that bald eagles will make an appearance. We do have a bald eagle nest on the property, and we've been seeing both adults soaring overhead and sitting perched in trees. Hawks, falcons are a possibility. Numerous songbirds have been spotted right at the Audubon Center with our feeding stations that we have, as well as all the natural habitat. And then waterfowl are certainly a possibility. All the ducks, the geese, and we've been enjoying some swans species as well, the trumpeter swans and the tundra swans at the Audubon Center. So again, January 1st, 10 o'clock in the morning, people don't have to register, just show up at the Audubon Center and enjoy a first day hike with us.
And the weather's going to be, it's going to be like 35 degrees, so really no excuses, people, do it. Birding excursion at Onondaga Lake. I sort of marvel at Onondaga Lake and how far it's come just in the last 10 to 15 years. Talk to us about this event and what this is all about.
Well, the bald eagle excursion that we offer annually is always one of our most popular. I expect this is going to sell out once again. So Saturday, January 27th. 10 o'clock in the morning. We're going to be meeting over by Destiny USA in downtown Syracuse. There's a nice little parking lot just off the side of Destiny there where we're going to pick up the Onondaga Creek Walk and take a short quarter mile walk down to the lakeshore and marvel at probably the dozens of bald eagles that we'll have down there by the end of January. That's an incredible success story because that lake was once the most polluted lake in the country. And over the last 20 years, Honeywell and many other organizations have worked tirelessly to clean it up. Audubon and other conservation groups have helped restore habitats once the cleanup effort was done. And as a result of that, we now can see over 100 bald eagles there at Onondaga Lake. We have 2 active bald eagle nests, one on the east side, one on the west side. And thousands of waterfowl spend the winter there because that lake won't freeze over entirely even once winter comes. We got Onondaga Creek emptying out into the lake, and then the wastewater treatment plant also empties out in the lake, keeping the southern end of the lake ice-free. So great spot to see dozens at least bald eagles and thousands of waterfowl. It's great because you don't have to go to Alaska anymore to see those types of sites. So people can go to the Onondaga Lake Conservation Corps website, which is ny.audubon.org/OLCC, to register, just $10 a person. This is going to sell out. If it does, we might end up adding an afternoon session. We had to do that last year. Looking at the signups already, I have a feeling we're going to be doing that again this year.
When you say potentially dozens of bald eagle, is that considered a hotspot of bald eagle? Because to see that many in one place seems like it'd be kind of rare mm-hmm. territory. How does that fit in the grand scheme of places you could potentially see bald eagles?
It's the largest bald eagle roost anywhere in New York State during the winter season. So just a few years ago when winter really hit upstate New York hard, mm-hmm. And most of the waterways froze over. Onondaga Lake didn't entirely, and so we ended up with over 100 bald eagles there. Last year, we like to joke that we only found 63 bald eagles there as a high count for bald eagles. We're getting starting to get a little spoiled here, but just things that you can't see anywhere else in New York State.
Yeah.
Right there in downtown Syracuse, very accessible. It's right off Hiawatha Boulevard and Interstate 690 there. So looking forward to getting a lot of people to come out and enjoy this experience, celebrate the conservation success, celebrate our national bird, celebrate the resurgence of Onondaga Lake.
Chris, as always, appreciate the time. Thanks for taking it today.
Thanks, Josh.
Hey, that'll do it for this edition of Inside the FLX. Thanks to Chris for being here today, as always. And if you're looking for more episodes, be sure to check out our show on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the iHeartRadio app. We'll see you next time.